Thank you for tuning in to episode 32 of the Keto Matrix podcast. Guys, this is a unique episode. This episode is not just about keto. This is an episode focused around quality. Quality of what we decide to put in our bodies. Kristen and Mallory from Laura's Lean decide to take some time out of their day so that we can do a deep dive into Meyer's Natural Foods, Laura's Lean, how it works, how they're sourcing, why they're different, and why and what they're doing to help make a difference and impact the lives near and far. So listen to the episode. Enjoy. One of the things I want to share is that March 29th is the last day of the March Madness sale. Okay, so it's 30% off site-wide for Laura's Lean Meats. You can go to store.meyernaturalfood.com to take advantage of that. And for those of you that are listening, if you use Team LLB, you'll get an additional 15% off. So Team LLB15 will get you an additional 15% off. So Team LLB15 will get you an additional 50% off during this 30% off sale. So enjoy. Let's jump into the episode and we appreciate you. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with anyone else you think this will help. And remember, it's not just keto related. So share with everyone. Let's jump into the episode.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com. Now, let's jump into our latest episode.
Brittany, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing better than you are right now.
Yeah, true story. I think all of us have had a long day today. Fortunately or unfortunately, I guess it depends on how you look at it. But yes, this is true. So I want to say that this is, I feel like I say a bunch of the episodes are like long anticipated. And I think that's because in my mind, like I've been thinking about them for such a long period of time before they actually happen. But then eventually everyone's going to think that every episode that's recorded is the longest awaited and anticipated episode that's out. So I probably have to come up with something new and fresh for that intro. But either way, I think this is the most unique in the sense that this episode will air. And it's the first episode that's not really keto based. It's more of a health and wellness and quality based. And so, you know, for those of you that are listening that are keto, that's fantastic. But there's also a lot of people that will be able to listen and gain insight and glean knowledge that have nothing to do with keto on why they should be eating this way. So I'm really excited about that and the process to understand some of those things. So without further ado, I'd like to bring on Kristen and Mallory from Laura's Lean. What's going on?
Hey, doing well. How are you?
You're lying right now, Kristen. You're lying.
I know. It's been a great, well, no, honestly, we'll streamline story. I had a flat tire in the middle of the highway, all things good. It's very perspective providing. So as long as the day was, I'm very appreciative that, you know, it was all good. We'll get the tire fixed. It's no big deal. No big scenarios to worry about here.
First question to be asked was that she was safe. So she's all
exactly.
Good.
Yeah, we're good.
That's good. That's good. I know long days are never, they're never exciting. And whenever I have a long day, it turns into a long week because I'm just playing catch up constantly from them. So yeah. I will do my best to not make this as long winded as I can. Brittany is in charge of reeling in.
I also have things to do. So he may just continue talking, but we girls can all just be like, deuces, have fun. Yeah.
You know, what's funny is that I always have things to do, but whenever I'm recording, I'm just in this Zen mode and then I get off. And I'm like, wow, I will be up until 2 o'clock now because all this other stuff still needs to get done. But
that's, you know, good, though. You should be present. So and you deserve that time and energy. So we're here for you.
Well, yeah. I appreciate that. You know what it is? I think that at the end of the day, it's such an honor and privilege to talk to people from all over the place and be able to just connect and share the insight that's there. And yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, perspective. You know, who
y'all
knows?
Are much nicer people than I are. Than I are.
That's it. I'm not even going to edit that out. I'm just going to let that roll.
Go for
just
it.
Let it,
go.
Might, let it be.
Might have to put it on echo and repeat it or something like that.
Full remix.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about Laura's Lean. How did you guys start? Why did you start? What's your space?
What's our space, man? All the space.
I love that. Everywhere.
Yeah. So, Meyer Natural Foods is a long running protein company with meat, chicken, Turkey. It's the baseline and tagline of our company is no antibiotics, no hormones ever. There's five brands underneath the Laura or the Myers umbrella, many of which most people have tried. There's a lot of white label and business to business sales. You might not even know that you've tried it. The brand Mallory and I are focusing on is Laura's Lean, and it's primarily their consumer brand and the brand that you can find in most major retail grocery stores. We just launched our e-com site, so we are building out an ambassador team, influencer marketing, but with a major fresh, new, and inspirational take on how influencer marketing goes. We're seeking really great key voices that are really great humans outside of their social following to speak on behalf of our product, the Genuine Enthusiasts. And we love people in specific niche markets, whether it's keto or paleo or artists or acting or athletes, comedy, anyone that speaks to their community specifically and genuinely has influence. We're looking to align with them. Obviously, they need to be meat enthusiasts.
I think that's definitely important.
So no vegans. Got it.
Yes. Yeah.
That are vegetarian and we're like,
Sorry. Usually their significant other or kid or something eats it. So a lot of them are a fan of what we do and how we do. And even if they can't eat the product, so someone in their family or their gym or somebody benefits. And they're even happy to pass on the good word because it is, you know, clean and no antibiotics, no hormones and XYZ. So Mallory and I are building out that ambassador program around Laura's. And Laura was obviously, it was a woman-owned company in a male-dominated space for the time being. And then Bob came along and acquired it from Laura, 96. Is that right, Mallory? Or 95, one of the 95, two. Yeah. And so we're doing, you know, a strong female initiative this year about trailblazers in the female space in different markets. Like Salt and Peppa, for an example, in hip hop space, they kind of blaze the trail for MCs.
Who are Salt and Pepper?
Are you serious right now?
Are you joking? You're serious.
I would legitimately have to turn in my minority card if I didn't know who that was.
Accessible. I don't know if you're a hip hop fan, but even that, like, I was like,
are you kidding me? I'm from New York. I bleed hip hop, so absolutely. Oh, that's hilarious. Good. I love to get reactions like that. They're like, what? You don't know Salt and Pepper? Like, you should have just disconnected.
So we're kind of pairing together these, you know, angles you would never really put together, but they have these really underlying common denominators of, you know, powerful people making powerful moves, you know, before it was a thing or before other people did it. So this is a longer answer than you probably wanted, but focusing on Laura is building out these key voices and then really building out a cool strategy to highlight all the really awesome angles around Meyer through these key voices.
I think what a great job that Kristen does. She's really bad at talking about herself.
Thanks, Faye. I was like, really?
I'm her hype man for sure. But something that she does that's really awesome is she takes these concepts that it was originally the foundation of the company. So questioning a better way of strong female in a male-dominated industry. She takes those concepts, finds ambassadors that align with those concepts, and then builds out activations alongside stuff that they're already doing to further along not only, yes, our beef and chicken and protein products, but to further along the messaging behind it. So we'll be in a lot of meetings where Kristen will be like, don't you see how all of this connects? And then I'm like, but for her it makes complete sense. And I'm just like, just give me an Excel sheet and I'll figure it out.
We're yin and yang, thank God, and it's perfect.
Yeah,
okay. Translate now. Thank God I got her.
So at the end of the day, the company is awesome, but we're doing a lot with our marketing strategies, which is really cool.
Love it.
Thanks, Malpal.
I just want to point out that you can never give too long of an answer for Neo. Like, it is not possible to give a longer answer than he would like. Let me just go ahead, like, take that off the table for you.
Okay, well, I'm for sure you're building. Yeah.
I was going to say, I thought I was super impressed with myself that I shut up that whole time and loved the fact that you were flowing.
I am actually really impressed that both of them, like, finished, and I was the one that was closer to interrupting either one of them than you were. So
see, I'm in that real zen mode right now.
He's working on it. He's doing a good job.
You guys will listen to our podcast where I, like, totally interrupt people. I'm like, no, it's just because I anxiously wanted to ask this next question. So we all have points of improvement. But having said that, why are you guys trying to go against the grain? Like, what's so important about it. Why are we focusing on people that are doing things differently before it was cool necessarily, and using that as the marketing strategy? I'd like to kind of unpack that a little bit, because I think there's a lot more to that. You gave us the elevator speech, which was great, but I know there's so much more there.
I think it has more to do with, it has more than the marketing strategy. I think this is, goes deep into KO's heart and my heart as well in terms of influencer marketing. So yeah, you're right in that, to bring it to a bigger picture. KO, I'll let you start us off.
I'll try not to go too philosophical on you, but.
No, listen. I post Daily Stoics every day. Go as philosophical as you'd like. Let's roll with it. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, so I was a comm major. So, you know, you got Aristotle and all these philosophers and all these things, and you know, our message, you know, reality is nothing more than applied meaning. Like, we call this chair because we, our culture and our language has built it to assign it chair, where it's really just metal and leather and whatever put together. So again, this is very watered down, but you know, our culture and the way we're going, everything right now is, bless you, digital consumption and influence and impact. You see, you know, outside of our generation, you see kiddos in kindergarten with cell phones. And if their parents are involved or checked out or however, whatever level of engagement they have, that point, that medium of influence or phone is in front of them a lot. And whether it's Disney or commercials or what have you, it's incredibly impacting. So their reality is really, this is dramatic, but created by that digital space. So I think we get a lot of kickback around social media and people hating what it is, and it can be all consuming. And I would completely agree, there's a lot of negative to it. But I also think there's a lot of positive as far as connecting people, streamlining messages, what have you. So we know not any one of us are going to get rid of social media. If anything, it's only going to increase, and that impact is going to be exponentially more powerful as time goes on. And these young people will have more and more of that as a part of their reality and defining their reality. So instead of trying to push against it and work against it, my vision really, like, personally, outside of, you know, in game and ways of making money, which I know the businesses all need to hear, and that's real. It's to find really, really great companies that are doing things the right way, which is really hard to do. And I know you guys know this. And then pair them alongside really good humans that can help reverberate the message. So it's what I want to call, like, very varsity influencer marketing, where it's not really even just about marketing and selling for business. Yes, of course it is, but it's about promoting a better way of living, a better lifestyle, streamlining options around meat or air or yoga or, you know, meditation, whatever it might be. I think there's massive responsibility alongside the companies that have to speak, but almost more importantly, the influencers that are out there. So Mallory and I are really in this awesome position where we can go out there and not just find somebody that has X amount of followers that believes in eating a certain way and then just have them do a couple posts and check out. A lot of times, you know, these guys have extra angles. We've got phenomenal ambassadors that are keto parents, and they did that not because they wanted to be skinny or win a fitness competition. It was because their son had autism. They had to completely redo their diet in order to help accommodate some of his symptoms. So we try and get to the humans that have something to say outside of just like the surface level or the great athlete or whatever it is, and dig into that human side so we can pair them alongside a company, which really is the funding and the message provider, to then disrupt the noise of all this other, you know, bullshit marketing that's coming out there. So baseline is, instead of us going against and trying to beat down a system or fight social media, we're going alongside it. And we're just going to come in with better people and better companies and better options to live, and highlight that. So our younger generations do see a better way. And then, of course, they can choose for themselves. But my personal mission is to disrupt as much of that noise as possible so we can highlight the good in this world. As cliche as that sounds, don't anyone throw up right now. But that's real.
I am the king of corny, so I'm good with the cliches. I love it.
Okay. But that's the basis of our program. Mallory and I spend so much time finding really great people. Obviously, the social following is a piece, but not really. It's who has something to say and who really has a mission at hand. And how does that fit alongside, you know, Meyer in nutrition and why they choose this meat and how it complements their lifestyle. And then we let them, you know, reverberate that message that way. And it's marketing in a sense. Obviously, we hope that it inspires other people to buy this product. And we've got this third party endorsement from the ambassadors. But it's about sharing, again, highlighting humans in their life, because I think people really need to see a better version of humanity right now. And if they can see a mom doing this, or, you know, a baseball player that maybe doesn't have an arm or whatever, and then they can, you know, talk about fueling, and then, you know, maybe that leads to brain gut connect and like the microbiome and all these larger conversations. So it's an incredible opportunity, and social media and digital platforms that are a phenomenal way to connect just like we are right now and further this conversation. So I think it spins a hopeful light on an otherwise, you know, darker light painted situation around social media.
I love it. So not only are you trying to disrupt social media and the thought process and outlook on it, but you're also trying to disrupt the way in which people are viewing how they fuel themselves and why, and the question to understand, you know, the importance of the quality of what they're putting in and how they can relate to that for themselves in whatever position they're in. If I'm 100%. Understanding that correctly. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, our young people, and I'll shut up after this, are seeking a better way. They really are. They want to know, you know, whether it's you want to be skinny and look a certain way and make it to spring break in your bikini, or, you know, your nutrition, you have chronic illness and you need to change things up. There's a wealth of information out there. And so it's really hard, you know, marketing companies have gotten so savvy, hard to find out what's true and what's not, and where to go and what to believe. And again, we look to our influencers, people you follow on social media, or your hairdresser or your mom or your coach or whatever, and you listen to what they have to say. If we can find good companies that are doing it the right way and have the right people talking about it, in a very pure, intentional space and have done our homework, I know as a consumer, if I can go to a trusted source and say, no, don't go through all this, just take this, or just go with this, or talk to this coach, it's amazing. It streamlines process immensely, because I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a, you know, basketball coach. I'm not any of these things. I'm a professional in my respective right, but I lean on all these other people that I trust to really give me advice on certain angles that I'm not an expert in. So if we can highlight and streamline process there, that's huge, because it is almost too much information out there.
Is. Oh, there's, yeah, and there's definitely too much bad information out there for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You were going to say something, Mallory, and then.
I was kind of going to go, I was going into exactly what Kristen was talking about how we've gotten some concerns about millennials being able to be our targeted demographic for this kind of product. And we've been in a lot of conversations about how millennials, there's so much information out there through Instagram and social media that they understand nutrition better than our parents did before. And just because they, for better or for worse, may not like have the income to support themselves for a product, they will choose to. I think about CrossFit a lot. So I'm a CrossFitter. Kristen is as well. I actually was just talking to my parents about this week, and they got onto it. They were like, well, you guys are millennials. Like, how do you afford such expensive meat? And I was like, Mom, I pay $160 a month for CrossFit. Mm-hmm. Like, we find ways to make, like, to provide ourselves with stuff that we need and that we want. And for a lot of millennials, that is nutrition and that is better meat. Just because everything became so diluted with these mass corporations, we don't know what's in our product anymore. So there is a shift in millennials of trying to make sure that we know everything that we're putting in our bodies, putting on ourselves, like clothes, materials that we're using. Like, there is a shift of going back to those mom and pop shops of where we know exactly where everything is sourced.
There's a consciousness.
I love that. So we're going to jump into the sourcing thing in a second, but I just want to say for those people that are listening that are like, I don't know, man, it's expensive. I'm like, half of the crap that you guys buy, and I say you guys because I don't do this anymore, but like, I think about all the other crap that I used to eat alongside my protein that I never mm-hmm. needed in the first place. And once you cut all that stuff out, you just wind up saving so much money. And not to yeah. mention, like, the flavor of grass-fed, grass-finished beef is just so much better. Like, that yeah. aspect, it's just there's so many things that it makes more sense to spend the money there because you're saving it. Let's not even go into the medications and the things that people don't need to take because they're putting quality fuel in their body. But I could be on that pedestal and we could just change the entire podcast to talk about that for the rest of the time. But enough about me. So can we talk a little bit about the sourcing and, you know, why is Laura's Lean quality? Why is Myra's Food quality? Like, what's the background there?
Well, Bob, Mallory, I'll let you jump in. I'll briefly give you kind of like the intro. We talked to, you know, all of our ambassadors, which, you know, genuine endorsement from them is always number one. So we kind of get into the minutia as far as the company and the background and the why. But, you know, our company still has, it's pretty good size, but still has a CEO that's hands-on in the mix. And his original vision was to just do things a better way. He saw opportunity in the meat space to really dial some things in and, you know, question the way things are made, how the cattle are being treated. Some of these larger combos that are now, you know, more relevant and more marketable. But back in the day, to do some of these things, it was incredibly cost and time effective. So it just really speaks to the kind of man that he is and the vision he had and the business he runs currently. how important it is to really do things right. And that's where we get the tagline, the Meyer way. All of our stuff is antibiotics, no antibiotics or no hormones added ever. Our Meyer line has, you know, humane humane treatment guidelines.
Tempogranum improved.
Yeah, it's Tempogranum approved. So it's a lot of things that are just, again, really, you know, time costly, and monetarily it's very expensive. And as Mallory said, we hail from the CrossFit space. I, back in the day, you know, before you can get this via e-com and just order it to your house, we would go source, we get like three or four of us, go source a cow, buy like a quarter cow, find a butcher, get a freezer, and then put it all in a freezer so we could, you know, not be spending $50 a pound at Whole Foods, but could still have grass-fed beef. So if this comes to, you know, it speaks to my heart, because I'm like, well, God, these guys don't know how good they have it. They can just get online and order it, and there's a discount and all this stuff we had to do. So I can see how important it is and how awesome it is that, you know, a company actually wanted to do this outside of, you know, like paleo or CrossFitters or keto people. Like, it's, this is like a thing they're providing for everyone. So it's a cool passion play.
Yeah. And piggybacking off of that, it's always been done this way, right? Meyer, like Bob Meyer's always been doing it before, like, all these other companies came in and were doing it to like make it cool and make it cool marketing, right? Of like, we're doing things the right way. So he's been doing this forever since he started. But I always like to talk about this. When I got hired on in, how long have I been here now? 7, 8 months?
I think so, yeah.
8 years? No.
20 years. Yeah, I was going to say.
When I first got hired on and I was learning about the company, I was actually able to sit down with our major ranch buyer, like face-to-face in office, and ask her all the questions about like, what does make our meat different? How do we process? How do we audit this and that? And the fact that she gave me 2 hours of her time, and I'm sure she could be doing a ton more with her day, just to talk about their auditing processes and how their ranch has grown and what the numbers are. I don't know. I can't remember exactly the amount of farms and ranches that we have now. It's still quite small in comparison to like the major corporations, but for a grass-fed company, we're pretty large. But the auditing process is what I found most interesting. From the day that that cattle is born until they are brought to the processing farm, they are checked annually. If anyone gets sick, they are forced to be separated from the cattle, from the rest of the herd. They are treated with antibiotics. They don't actually kill those animals that do get sick. They treat them with antibiotics and then send them to another lot. They travel separately from any other animals. They aren't even sharing the same sort of truck when they're brought over to the lots. So just the, and then they audit themselves on top of it. Like, we have auditors come in to audit all of our ranches to make sure that we're doing things correctly. It's not just coming from Meyer. It's actually Meyer is saying like, hey, we want to make sure that we're doing everything correctly. We want you auditing our ranches. And so just the amount of checking boxes that we do isn't time and cost effective, but we do it because we know that it's right. So that's what I think is really, really cool. And the fact that the company is still pretty small to where I can sit down with the major ranch buyer of the company and just be like, hey, so tell me about how this is all processed. I think that it just shows in our values that we really, really care about making sure that people know how we process everything and that how we treat our animals. So
I'm going to ask you this just based on the fact that it's probably fresher in your mind, but that's a huge takeaway, like the antibiotics and the separation and the, you know, the moving out of, you know, one animal versus the herd. Like, that's all huge. The auditing process is huge. What are some other things that you got when you sat down with the rancher that were like top of mind for you as far as really truly understanding what the difference was with Myers and everything else?
Sorry, you went out for a second. You're asking me what else did I take away from that meeting?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no worries. Well, I was able to actually see the auditing sheet that, or the cattle sheet. I forget what she called it. So the animal, when they're born, they get a piece of paper. There's a specific word for it.
I think it's birth certificate you're looking for.
Birth certificate, yeah.
We're going to go with that.
So I was able to look at that form and look at like how often they were checked and what they were checked for, which was really cool. And then, I don't know, well, for me, just I think the fact alone that I was able to sit with her and to ask her those questions, the fact that she gave me that time obviously meant a lot. Okay. And then on top of it, just the fact that they go out of their way to separate animals if they are sick, but not actually kill them. Kristen was actually able to visit the family ranch in Montana, which was really cool. I wish I wasn't hired yet, but I think that would have been a huge way to see kind of the base of values that Bob Meyer built out of his family ranch in Montana.
Mm-hmm. I picture Montana is just like all green. I'm on a horse with a cowboy hat.
Oh, that's what it was. And that's one of the things they do to take care of the animals. Instead of using like ATVs that are, you know, noisy, high stress energy, and it really does spook the animals, all the cowboys are literally on horseback. They've got a full horseback. We didn't grow up riding horses, so I don't know any of the terminology, but
I'm from New York. Remember, I'll never get on a horse, so we don't have to worry about it.
So back to salt and pepper. It was full stable. They run the horses. It's gorgeous. And it's just fields of grass and openness. You could see all the cows. We saw them up close and personal, and it's gorgeous. It's literally exactly what you would think it would look like, or what it should look like, I should say.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so what's the time frame typically for, you know, from birth to processing farm?
I wish I had the number. She told me.
It's just one of those things that I always wonder, like, how long? Because I know the process is different, right? Like, for those that are grain finished, I know the time is a lot less. And
exactly. So they take a little bit longer, and I know that they take a little bit longer because they can't get them as big as quick, because obviously, like, animals.
It's natural.
Yeah, they need time, right? Yeah. Maturity.
I wish I had the answer for you.
That's okay. No worries. Okay. So you guys both have been on. What are the things that are like key takeaways for everyone to be able to lean in on and say, okay, I'm going to pay the extra $3 a pound to get Laura's Lean at, I don't know, Target or Food Lion or one of these other major places where it's there alongside, you know, looking at something that's cheaper. What are those things that people may be completely ignorant to? I'm going to allow this to be the spot where you can kind of educate them on, you know, the omega-3s and why grass-fed is different. And I mean, we say no antibiotics and no hormones ever, but why? Like, what's the point of that?
Oh man. And this, and my keto listeners, I know how you guys get into the minutia thing. So I'm very hesitant to compete with your knowledge in this space. Just as a CrossFitter and wannabe health enthusiast, most of the time, you know, grass-fed, oh God, dude, you know, there's so much science behind why it's better, why it's cleaner, why it's worth the investment. I would genuinely encourage anyone, if you really want to know outside of what Mallory and I can tell you, go dig into some knowledge. I think you'll find a lot of really worthwhile information alongside the grass-fed why it's better findings. But I will say this, once you do find out why it's better, price compare. Like, go to Whole Foods, see what it costs you. Look at Laura's in the store. And then the best thing you can do is go on our e-com and use one of our codes, which we share with you guys to promote to your audience. And you can get, you know, 15% off all the time and sent to your door. Even if you don't fully understand why it's better for you, just knowing that it's clean, no antibiotics, no hormones ever, and it can be sent right to your door, I think those are reasons enough. And you get a discount. Once you really get into the science of grass-fed, then it'll be a no-brainer.
No, that's good. I always like to say I keep things Crayola clear. Brittany actually does a really good job of me trying not to get overly scientific, because I feel like, yes, the science for me, it's like I'm all about it. But it does turn into minutia, and then it turns into that same noise that people hear and they can't actually, you know, discern what's knowledgeable, what's over their head, what they understand, what they don't. It winds up being more confusing than not. So I think everything you said was perfect. And Mallory, you were going to add to that, right?
Yeah, I was going to say I'm not as educated about that kind of world as I'm sure a lot of the people who are listening are. But all I can say is that the taste is unreal. Like, all you can do is just try it. I kind of, you know, when I was in LA, I was living in LA for a while and I wasn't making a lot of money. So I kind of just bought whatever I could. And so I've definitely, like, I wasn't able to buy any sort of grass-fed beef or chicken. I was actually just stuck to chicken for the most part. And after trying the ribeyes for Laura's Lean, I was like, oh, this is what good steak tastes like. So if that means anything, the taste is unreal. And you can tell, you can actually taste the difference. And you can see the difference. It's not this like dyed red that you're used to seeing in markets. And it kind of terrified me at first. I was like, oh, this is a different color. But it's
it's brown. Why is this thing brown?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I would love, even if any of your listeners have tried, because I'm sure most of your crew, the keto guys are grass-fed or paleo, have tried grass-fed steaks even from Whole Foods. And they're good. But there's still kind of that gamey taste, particularly if you don't eat grass-fed all the time, you can tell. I would encourage them to try a Whole Foods steak and then try one of ours. And then I would love any genuine feedback, either which way. Ours,
you know what,
that I've had that tastes gamey.
I feel like I need to do that. I need to do a side-by-side. Like,
yeah.
I will smoke and grill them up. First off, I think Brittany can attest now since she's had one. Who's listening. No, she hasn't had a Laura's Lean steak. She's had a Neo steak. I don't care who's listening. I literally make the world's best steak. I don't care who else is comparing. Okay. I'm telling you right now.
We've had a few people say that.
No, we should not do one the way that you do it, because I'm pretty sure it could be as gamey as it. Like, and it could be anything, and it would still be good because you have a good smoked flavor throughout the meat. Like, those were thick steaks, and it was still all the way through. I think we need to do just, like,
Mallory, pepper, I will
like
cook
just,
it.
Like, basic seasoning, and not your version of basic, because you said that about the one that we just had, and I was like, no, there was
more restaurant than quality.
No, forget restaurant quality. I refuse to order a steak in a restaurant for this reason.
Of the actual meat... we should do one where it's just very, very basic technique and seasonings so that you are highlighting the meat and not
the meat. You know what I'll do? I will eat it raw. And I'm so serious right now.
Coming from the guy who's battling food poisoning right now.
Yeah, that's why I said
it wasn't Laura's.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like raw meat in general. Like I get it. But let's just.
I'm just in order to get like the true taste, like straight away, and then I'll do something like I don't know, iron skillet with some salt and pepper, or a salt and pepper from Tactic Calories. We'll keep it simple.
Oh, nice! Yeah, get them in the mix. We love those guys. We're trying to do a custom spice with them. Not to segue at all, but yeah, if you want to do, we love all the feedback. We encourage our guys, like, you know, let us know what you think, from meat to packaging to. Whatever you want to talk about, like, our door's open. I'm a strong believer the consumer and the market tells you what they want. So if we can take all feedback, you know, then so be it. So yeah, grill them up.
I'll have to look for a Laura's Lean ribeye local. I've only been able to find the ground beef wherever. Okay,
we can have some stuff sent to you. No problem.
I haven't. That's the thing that I have to. I've got to check that out. But either way, I digress. So as we continue, as you look at the direction of where things are going, where do you see and what are the problems that you're trying to solve right now moving forward to, you know, obviously you want to stay small, but continue to impact and disrupt. Go ahead. Yeah. I feel like that was like,
Mallory, you want to say it?
No, you say it. You handle this one, Kristen.
Thank you. Thank you. So much to do in so little time. A couple of major things we really wanted to focus on this year. We have such phenomenal ambassadors. Again, they're the best at their respective craft, whether it's they're a phenomenal athlete or a culinary chef or teacher or whatever. A lot of them are parents, business owners, either own their own 501c3 nonprofit or aligned alongside one. So something that I'm particularly passionate about alongside Mallory is youth nutrition. And we've had a couple charities recently cross our table, no pun intended, that have specialized in the youth nutrition arena. And so we would really love to focus this year on food deserts and providing better options and just knowledge to these situations. And food deserts, you know, we've had to learn a lot about it because there's really not even a ton of information out there as we did our research.
Yeah, what is a food desert?
A food desert is basically a community that does not have fresh fruits or vegetables available to them, I think within 1 or 2 miles. I don't even know what the full measurement is. But the more we've read about it, that's one way to label it. But even if, you know, the fresh fruit or whatever is 4 or 5 miles away, if they don't have means to get there, then, you know, there's communities right now that are essentially food deserts that aren't considered that because, you know, they're within X amount of miles, but they still can't get there. And furthermore, you know, a lot of these kids and families don't eat that way. So some kids have never even seen a real vegetable, as crazy as that sounds. You know, everything's in a can or processed, or it's, you know, they eat primarily from 7-Eleven or convenience stores. So the food deserts that are accounted for right now are a fraction of really what's out there. And we're still fresh in our knowledge as we're learning about this. It's actually been kind of difficult to really get hard information around it, but that's something that, you know, we want to further the conversation around and expose this. Cause again, I do think our young people are asking questions, you know, they're making financial decisions very different instead of, you know, buying, you know, $10,000 pairs of pants or watches or material things. They're spending on experience, they're spending on nutrition, they're spending on their health because health insurance is so expensive. It's such an evolving market that I think it's a relevant conversation around humanity and making the world a better place and staying relevant to what our young people need and want and should be exposed to so they can further conversation and prioritize their life, but give them, you know, the knowledge and experience to make those decisions.
Why is this important to you guys? Because this has nothing to do necessarily with, like, growing the brand, right? Like, if they're in a food desert, the likelihood that 7-Eleven is going to pick up Laura's Lane is probably slim to none. So,
two sides. The consumer is more powerful than ever. So the mission doesn't stem necessarily from the business piece, but the business piece is always relevant. Your consumers are out there buying and their knowledge and they understand why it's better. You know, up goes your sales. So it's kind of chicken or the egg. But I think our kids, maybe I shouldn't say that. Yeah, it's whatever better beef analogy goes in there or metaphor.
No, that was good. I love it.
We try. But actually, we sell chicken too, so we can run with that. It's, you know, we educate the consumer. We let people know and decide. We're confident where we come in. And from somebody that sought out better beef options, it's exciting for me to work alongside one that I would actually choose, and I would only do that anyways. But to present this option and knowing that it's so great, present it in front of the consumer, let them see all their things and let them decide. But if they've seen it, know it, and understand it, we're confident they'll purchase it, even if it's more expensive, because they know the residuals and the positive effects from, you know, the upfront cost. So I think it's a really important conversation. You know, the way you get into nutrition, again, the gut-brain connect, and then you can get into conversations around the way you fuel can help and impact depression or, you know, suicide rates, or these are all large claims, but like you can start to see how much what you consume impacts everything else in life. So if we can get to our young people and all young people, ones, families that can afford it and families that can't, and, you know, whatever, it's all equally important. So if we can find a way to, you know, maybe if we would like to do, you know, buy a bag, give a bag away, kind of like what Tom's Shoes does. That's something we've got to work and make logistically work. But again, if that's one community helping another, then we're furthering the message and all of it's marketing and branding essentially. But we're doing a lot of good alongside, you know, the business initiatives.
I think that was the perfect answer. I was kind of leading you into a dark place by asking that question in the way in which
I'm
did.
I'm happy, man.
Yeah, but I you know what's funny is that, you know, people come on the podcast and they think there's a reason for it other than I just like to share what I think, what I believe, and who I truly feel people should be supporting. And so Sometimes I'll ask questions like that because I want you to just free flow your answer. I think that was absolutely awesome. And I know it's because of the heart behind things that go way beyond sales and marketing. Like, it's about actually changing the environment in which we live and those people and communities that we touch, which is huge. I love it. I think it was great. So what can we do to help, and where can we get more information on the food deserts? Because I do think that's something that, one, I'd like to educate myself on, but two, I'd like to make sure people can also get involved with understanding what that is and where. Like, where have you guys gone to kind of seek this information?
It's really been, fortunately, Organic Connects. And we are bringing on a chef that's worked in the culinary space for personal chefing for musicians and acting and whatnot. And this is actually where we're going to tie in some of like our niche markets around like musicians and whatnot. And she works with a nonprofit. It's called KPOC. I would have to look at Mallory. Do you know the full name? they are out of Orange County, and they work. So in Orange County, you think, you know, affluent, not food deserts, what have you, but which is true. But they've got a good portion of their communities where that is the case. So they're having like one community help the rest of the community. And they've done, you know, they've had some really great conversations with us on educating on, you know, food deserts and how to do it. And they bring like trolleys full of fresh food into certain communities and literally let, you know, these kids see all different things from oranges to pomegranates to, you know, fruits that I haven't even seen.
Very cool.
And bring it into the mix. Yeah, but it's, you know, we're, again, it's still an evolving conversation, something we're digging into. But seeing how some of these 501c3s, these nonprofits, have dug in and kind of built their own way, it's incredible. And I think Michelle Obama has really initiated the conversation around getting kids to move and question, you know, what's healthy. But that sparked some larger conversations. It's allowed these charities that check a lot of boxes. I'll look up the one that we work with. They're awesome. Yeah. To start to really focus on food deserts. But I think it's an evolving conversation. And that's something we'd really love to push because it's a major issue, but we don't hear a lot about it.
No. And you know, it's so sad is that whenever anytime you're at your local Walmart, right? Like, or any other place that's out, to see kids as malnourished as they are. And it doesn't, when I say malnourished, I know some people are thinking, oh, like, no, most kids I see are fat. I don't mean malnourished because of their weight. I mean malnourished because you can tell they're not getting the nutrition that they need. Whether they're overweight and obese or skinny, most children today are malnourished. And I know that all comes from, one, ignorance, two, food quality. And then the one thing that I love about Myers and Laura's Lean is that you guys do. You educate, you put the information out, and then allow people to learn from that and then choose correctly, where you don't put the gimmicks and some of the other things that are out there, the claims to fames. I can't remember what the documentary was that I watched. This was years ago. And they were just talking about how people will say stuff like, or, okay, perfect example. When I first researched and was really diving into grass-fed and grass-finished, and the fact that you actually have to ask for grass-finished because they could just say it's grass-fed because they ate grass at some point in time and it's life. That stuff drives me nuts, man. Like, why should that be a thing? Like, why should that even be that? Or the fact that the majority of grass-fed, grass-finished beef that the majority of people get, it's not even from here. Like, it comes over from, like, New Zealand. And they finally get it. And it's not something that they can put their hands into. They can't go to the ranch in Montana and, you know, see what's being done and how the animals are treated. And those kind of things, I think, are the small, intricate details that make all the difference. So hats off to you guys for doing that, because that stuff is, I mean, those things are super, super important to me, especially since I don't eat any vegetables at all.
Well, you can eat a little bit, but I mean, to each their own, more of a meat fan, the better for us. But yeah, I think, again, it kind of goes back to creating this conversation around our young people. So, you know, as they grow and conversate further and question things and then really start to see, okay, what I eat affects my behavior. Maybe I don't need to be on these medications. I can just change the way I eat. And it's all these conversations that, you know, our parents or even our peers didn't grow up with. So it's important that we just spark that conversation and then they can make the decision from there. So I think marketing and, you know, branding, all these things get kind of like, you know, a dirty, like dark asterisk around them, which justifiably so. A lot of it is, you know, very money motivated. But on the flip side, you know, a lot of companies like us are out there sharing a message we believe in and what, you know, our truth is and what we're doing. And if you choose for it's for you, awesome. If not, then that's cool too. But seek out, you know, knowledge, dig into these guys, see what's out there and understand what it is you're purchasing and what through that purchase you're furthering. And what messages they're sending. And that kind of stems back to our influencer program. You know, what kind of humans are a part of this team and what are they building? Because this impact is impacting all of us. So I think our young people are open to those conversations and receptive to what it is. And it's stuff we just didn't grow up, you know, talking about or questioning.
True story. I like it. I mean, I can't disagree with any of that. I think that's absolutely 100%. And, you know, I think that these things, especially now like podcasts, right? Like, you don't have to be a genius to get onto your Spotify or podcast app and be able to listen and have information just fed to you. So, I think that's great. Okay. Where can people find you guys?
Well, quick shout out. I want to say the charity I was just speaking of is the Community Action Partnership of Orange County. And shout out to LaShonda. She's been awesome with us. We've had like 2 hour phone calls and of her explaining some things. So they're doing some great stuff. So they've been a great source of knowledge for us around food banks. I encourage anyone to check them out. But you can find Meyer, MeyerNaturalFoods.com, LauraSLean.com, and then our e-com where you can buy all of our fabulous food is store.meyerfoods.com. Is that right, Mallory?
Store.meyernaturalfoods.com.
Meyer Natural Foods. Okay, we're close. We're getting to the end of the day here.
Don't worry. I'll put the links in.
Thank you. Yes, please. Sure. Visuals are good. And then you can give the discount code to the crew, Team LLB15. So any listeners, you want to get on there and try the meat, give us your full feedback, and then take 15% off for that code.
Awesome. And just so everyone knows, I am basically, I was supposed to be on Monday, but it'll probably be starting next Monday. I'll be doing ground beef for a month.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah, like that's all I'll be eating is ground
Why
beef.
Why is that?
Every day. Because I think people, Brittany's like, no, I'm not signed up for that. Oh, wait, you're going to say the brick?
Yeah, I was going to say, you're not just eating beef.
You're right. I'm going to have a keto brick alongside. Okay. But as far as meat, the only meat and the only thing I'll be consuming alongside this brick will be ground beef. And the reason is because I feel like too many people come up with excuses for why they can't eat grass-fed, grass-finished beef. And if you just simplify it and you just eat that, you can change the flavor profiles with the seasonings and the way in which you cook it and all these other things. And you get everything that you need and is fuel without the emotional connection. So I'm super simple, super easy. And everyone's going to see a whole lot of ground beef for the next month.
Well, Matt, call us. We might be able to support that cause there and hype it. Unless you get like food poisoning again, we might have to reverse out of this situation. Yeah.
No, I haven't had food poisoning since I was like 14. So I'm good with like every 20 years, 22 years. Yeah. It sucks. But either way.
Okay. So you were serious about the no vegetable thing, like none at all.
Yeah. I haven't had a vegetable in almost 2 years now.
What?
Yeah, legitimately.
Okay. Oh, man. And so you stay healthy for the most part?
Oh, it's
good. I see eye rolls coming through.
Well, yeah, because, so, I mean, I have a couple episodes up of different carnivores like Amber O'Hearn and such to listen to. But, yeah, okay. I have felt better now than I have my entire life by omitting vegetables.
Okay, interesting. I would,
and
yeah,
all
maybe
the
we'll
micronutrients
have to do a vegan.
That come in, yeah, we're going to have to... We'll have to talk about it, but all of the micronutrients I need, I get. And where I don't, I'll take organ complex, like, actually.
Oh, okay. So, like, a multivitamin, or are you actually, like,
So, it's literally organ complex. So, it's beef, brain, liver, heart, and kidneys ground into capsules.
And how do you... So it's just a pill form?
Yeah, they're encapsulated.
Man, okay. I'm assuming you don't take that before you work out.
No, I work out fasted, so no, I don't take it before I work out.
Okay. Yeah, that looks dangerous. But all right, man, I'll have to check that out. That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I just have to talk about this now. You've never talked to any, like, strict carnivores that don't eat any vegetables at all?
Danny doesn't, he even eats a little bit of vegetables here and there. I don't think so. Not that doesn't eat a single shred or a gram or anything of vegetables. No.
Okay. So definitely check out Sean Baker, Amber O'Hearn, Michaela Peterson. I would put those as like the top three.
Okay.
Yeah. And Amber and Sean have probably been the longest. Amber, I want to say, is 8 going on 10 years and Sean's about the same. So, okay, yeah. So Dr. Sean Baker on Instagram, Amber O'Hearn, and Michaela Peterson.
All right. Noted. We'll have to get them in the mix as ambassadors, obviously, if they're just purely fueling on this.
Yeah. I mean, it's great. And I mean, and Danny mixes in vegetables every once in a while based on his experiments and stuff like that. But like, it's amazing. It's great. So,
okay. Lisa, what are your thoughts on this?
Brittany has no thoughts.
Or Brittany, sorry, yeah.
That's okay.
She's like, I do eat vegetables.
Okay.
He is a special individual. Just leave it at that.
Follow your heart, man. Okay, interesting.
If the cow is eating all of the grass and getting all of those micronutrients, and I'm eating the cow, then I've got everything I need.
Oh man, I'm not even chasing down this rabbit hole. This is like this is like a Danny combo where he whips out like an encyclopedia that he just happened to be logging for the past 30 years.
I was like,
nah, man, I know you guys better than
that. I was like, I won't load you up. But yeah, I mean, I would definitely say, like I said, check those few people out. Dr. Kevin Stock's another great one. He's also a carnivore. It is what it is.
Cool. But you guys are just some T-Rexes running around out there.
That's it. Feed the machine. Guys, thank you so much for taking the time to come out. We really, really do appreciate it. I hope we're good on time. I was trying to do my best to not have this go crazy.
Yeah, that was perfect.
All right.
We're good. Any other questions we can answer that's useful or helpful that your audience you think wants to know?
I think the audience wants to know everything, but there'll always be other questions that I could put on, but we'd have to save that for another time. And we can dive into those things then. I definitely want to stay up to date with what you guys are doing with food deserts, as well as some of the other things that with Salt and Pepper and any of the other things that you're pushing out, so that people can be aware and follow that stuff for sure.
Absolutely. Our Instagram is where all that stuff will be. Laura's_lean. Make sure you give us a follow.
Yeah, will do. Yeah. Little plug. Cool.
But that sounded right.
Yeah. You guys have a great rest of your day. We so appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it.
The Keto Matrix Podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com.